Okay. I think we're just about ready to begin. But I don't know if Nisim is joining us, but I think we could start with. Oh, David Kane. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Where's David? Where is he? Can't see him. Connecting. Oh, he's turning his. All right, David, how are you? So nice to see you. I can't hear you, but I'm sure I knew what you said.
I said, nice to see you as well, Rabbi.
Remind me, you're in Miami?
I'm in Miami with this little one.
What a sufganiyah, they say in Hebrew. Oh my
I
God.
couldn't imagine in yeshiva being back in yeshiva and having two little babies 12
Yeah.
years later. That's
Yeah.
like light years ahead.
Awesome. Awesome. And we have Scott Sander just joined us. How you doing, Scott? So nice, so
Baruch
nice.
Hashem, good to see you.
Great to see you, my friend. Great to see you. Okay, I think we're going to get started over here. First of all, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Online here with us, we have Adam Ishan, who's the first one to join. So thank you, Adam, for sponsoring. And Danny Fordham, thank you for sponsoring. And Nisim Franco, also thank you for sponsoring. He's not on the Zoom right now, but he asked that this year be also the Zchut or Refuah Shlemah for Devorah Bat Rut Sarah. So all the words of Torah and the Dveikus Chaverim that we have here should all be the Zchut, the Refuah Shlemah of Devorah Bat Rut Sarah.
Wait.
I want to thank Mark Merrill, who I think is on the call. I think he's over here, but he's got a lot of kids jumping on him right now. Thank you for organizing this Shir Shmooz. It is a delight. If we would just stop here, I would say Dayenu just to see you guys. It is really quite amazing. There's so much going on in the world right now. There's so many people in bidud quarantine. There are closures. There are people in self-quarantine. The world has become a very distant place, and people all over the globe have like turned into themselves. They've closed up. And it's not just physically, but I think it causes the physical, as we know, is connected to the mental and spiritual. People are spiritually and mentally closing up as well. It's very, very hard. And a lot of people at best are just in a holding pattern, and there are very few who are able to really be free in COVID-19, free in their mind, free in their spirit, and not beaten by corona. So I really appreciate the topic that Mark chose. So, what would Rav Boaz do with one extra hour? I was saying from the very, very beginning of COVID, I was saying that we shouldn't have the attitude that we're here to survive. We're not here to survive. We're here to thrive. This is a year where we need to thrive. The Kaddish Baruch Hu throws us challenges all of the time, all of the time. And the question is, what do we do with it? There's always a silver lining. There's always a positive way of looking at things and swinging things. We know there are a lot of people. My brother, for example, works in America. He's in real estate, and he said that he's had the best year he's ever had. There's certain industries that did very well. I think even in finance, a lot of people did very, very well. It's just a question of taking the opportunities that present themselves and figuring out how you can make the best of a tough situation. So I like the topic because the topic of what would you do with an extra hour every day is a very optimistic topic. It's like, let's think big. Let's think out of the box. Let's not just think, what do I do with what I have? I want more. I'm always trying to gain more. So it's a great topic. What would I do with an extra hour a day? First of all, there's a Rav, Alav Shalom, Rav Yehuda Cooperman, who he opened up the Mechlala Lebanot in Yerushalayim. He started Mechlala. So when I was learning at Grus, and then again when I was teaching at the same place in Grus, I became close with Rav Cooperman, Alav Shalom. That's our Menachem, Rav Menachem Cooperman's uncle. And he said an amazing thing. He said that time is not the most important thing in life. He said, time is life. Time is life. We often think about time. A lot of people have this expression, you know, what do I want to kill some time. Killing time is killing life. You have every moment we have is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into the world, to fulfill our role in this world. And so every single moment that we have is mamish a gift. And we need to use that gift to the best of our ability. When Mark picked the topic, immediately I said, came to my mind immediately, you know, the famous story that a person came to Rav Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musar movement, and came and said to him, Rebbe, I only have 15 minutes. What should I learn in those 15 minutes? I only have an extra 15 minutes a day. That's all I have. What should I learn in that time? And so famously, who knows what Rav Salanter said? Anybody? Open your mic. What do you say? Learn Musar. Exactly. Why? Because if you learn Musar, you'll know that you have more than 15 minutes a day. That's why you learn Musar. The truth is that, you know, it's amazing to think about what I would do with an hour a day. But the question is, what am I doing with my time right now? You know, first, like, time is such a valuable thing. Shmuel Bergman, so good to see you. Jakey Fine, Yaakov Fine. Everyone wants to. What's the name of your fitness thing? You had a good one.
From Fitness.
From Fitness. That's right. I an advertisement for Jakey Fine from Fitness Coach, right there. Time is the most important thing in life. Time is life. It's what you know is what we have, and we really 24 hours a day is a lot. I know the great Gedolim, it's always told about them that they don't really sleep so much. They maximize every single moment of their time. This has been a very, very difficult year for Am Yisrael. We've lost a lot of great Gedolei Yisrael. One of them that we lost recently was from West Hempstead. I don't know if anyone here heard of or knows Rabbi Yehuda Kelemer. Anybody? You know Rabbi Kelemer? Anybody heard of him?
Yes, I have heard of him.
Aaron?
Very heard close of him? With the yeah. Very close to my grandfather as well for years.
But he was a Gadol. He was the rabbi, the Mara D'Asra of West Hempstead. And I'm very close with another rabbi in West Hempstead, Rabbi Yehuda Pearl. That's the you know, he's the rabbi I go to, you know, I go to his shul, Anshei Shalom. And I asked him, you know, afterwards, you know, I called him up and I said, you know, can you tell me something about Rabbi Kelemer? I mean, I heard great things about him. And he says he was a Gadol Yisrael. He was, I said, an unknown Gadol? I said, no, he was a known Gadol. People who knew that he was a Gadol. And he said about him, he said, he was a person who was, he had nothing, it was nothing was about himself. It was all about helping others. And he said that if you, he did chasadim all day long. From all throughout the hours of the day, 12, 2 o'clock in the morning, he was always doing chasadim. He said, if you'd add up all the acts of chesed that he did in his life, it would add up to much, much more than the time that he was alive. It didn't make sense. It couldn't make sense. It's like what I say about Rav Benji. I say about Rav Benji that he has, if you add up all the stories that Rav Benji tells, it's more time than he lived. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, you know? Rav Benji has so many stories, it just doesn't make sense. So the same thing. People who really cherish their time, they're able to be me'al hazman. They're able to get to a state where they're above time. They're above time. Somehow they can manage to do things in the amount of time that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yehuda Kelemer was like that. When Mark chose this topic, it was probably over a month ago. I don't know. He asked me. I said, "Yeah, sounds like a great topic. Go for it." I didn't look at the calendar. I didn't even think about what I was going to say exactly at the time. I said, "It sounds like a good topic." But then, you know, as it came closer, I started to think, you know, what should I talk about? There's so many things you can talk about an extra hour of time. And I said, wait a minute, this week's Parsha is like the Parsha about time. We know that Parshat Bo is the Parsha, Perek Yud Bet, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. You know, this is your first mitzvah for Am Yisrael, as the Rashi points out, The Torah really should have started with a Chodesh Zelachar. And it's all about time. And all the Mepharshim talk about why is it that the first mitzvah is about being Koveya Rosh Chodesh. It's about being Koveya a time, that we are in charge of time. That's the very first mitzvah. So I was looking, I saw there's a Rav Aaron Goldscheider, I think actually from West Ham. So he said, he quoted Rav Soloveitchik. And I want to share with you some of the words that he quoted. I think the Rav is brilliant on Parshat Bo. So the Rav says, if you look, I'm just going to, you know, summarize, for lack of time, I'll summarize his words. He says that the Rav talked about the perspective of time in Parshat Bo. He said that you start off, the whole Geula starts at midnight, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Bachatzot, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kachatzot, because he didn't want, as the Gemara in Brachas we all know, we didn't want people to think that there was a mistake here. So Bachatzot, Kachatzot, it's all about a specific time, exact time, in the middle of the night, that's when Makat Bechor is going to happen, and that's going to be the final trigger to the Geula releasing Am Yisrael. Not a second earlier, not a second later, but there was a definitive hour on the clock that would be life-changing for everyone, for all of the Jews and all the Mitzrayim forever. One specific time. The whole Parsha revolves around time. The first commandment, as we mentioned, HaChodesh Zelachem, the Rav explained to time, I'm going to quote this, to the slave, time is a curse. He waits for the day to pass. The slave's time is the property of the master. No matter how hard he may try to be productive in time, he will not reap the harvest of his work. Therefore, he is insensitive to time. Time is a curse to the slave, but to the free man, time is everything. Freedom and time go hand in hand together. We are masters of our destination. You know, we're masters of our destiny, because we have the time in our hands. Having the first commandment teaching us time awareness was critical for the slave to begin to learn a new way of appreciating time. And the Rav went on to say, "V'shmartem et ha-matzot." You know, it's not just the matzot. Chazal say, "Shmartem et ha-matzot, shmartem et ha-mitzvot." Mitzvah ba liyadcha al tachmitzena. If there's a mitzvah that comes to your hand, don't push it off. Don't do it right away with alacrity, with zrizus. You should be doing the mitzvot. Why? Because it's all about time. And we know that the matzah, if you wait too much time, it will become chametz. Mitzvah ba liyadcha al tachmitzena. When the matzahs are being made, so you can't push it off because they'll become chametz. A mitzvah also, you shouldn't push off, otherwise, lest it become chametz, lest it gets overdone. The psychology of a slave. The Rav expanded on the theme and explained that from a psychological perspective, the slave has no sense of time. A slave doesn't have options. He can't make his own decisions. A slave has lost all sense of time awareness. So again, when you become a ben chorin, when you become free, all of a sudden time takes on new dimension. We know that the halacha says that, you know, there are certain mitzvot that a slave, I'll have to ask you guys, which mitzvot are slaves putter in? Which mitzvot? Anybody? I'll give you a hint, it's connected to time. Go ahead.
Mitzvah Seshes Man Grama.
That is correct, David. Mitzvah Seshes Man Grama, slaves are pater. They're chayav in mitzvah like women. Why? Because their time is not theirs. They can't be counted on specific times. So it's all about time. So freedom is all connected to time. There was you've heard of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was one of the Gedolei Yisrael at the time of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's famous for the layman, and it's safer on Chumash, Emes Liyakov. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was a true gadol. So it was said about him that when he would give a gift to a bar mitzvah boy, he would buy the bar mitzvah boy a watch, a new watch. And when he asked, like, why giving a watch? He says, no, on this auspicious day of a young man's life, there's nothing more precious to teach him than the value of time. So time is, Scott, make note of that. When you buy a bar mitzvah present, get a watch. It's, time is so important. I see Shmuel Bergman, and I see an imposter in Yonah Ross on the name of Yonah Rossman. I just want to say that. So
That is correct. Elon Bagley is not Yonah Rossman, for the record.
Yonah Rossman, that is just not right. That's just wrong.
Anyway. I might have borrowed his computer for a few months.
Okay. In any event, so time is really the most important thing. And that's why the first mitzvah is HaChodesh HaZelachem, because when we talk about what a Jew's function is in this world, it's L'taken Olam HaMuchuchim. Our job is to make the world a better place. And the most important thing we have on our world to accomplish that mission is time. What would I do with an extra hour of time? It's a great question. I think that when we have time in our hands and we use it properly, Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to use it with the best of the ability. There's the quantity and quality. We're always judging these two terms in Judaism. You know, famously in the Neiros Hanukkah, we know that the miracle was not that it had more quantity of oil, but that the quality of oil was much better. So that a little oil went for 8 days. In other words, the quality, you've got much more in. So my first hope would be to be able to use the time that I have better and not just add more hours that I'm not using to the best of the ability. But time is really a gift of life. I've been the last few months, actually since Corona hit, I've spent a lot of time with my kids, Baruch Hashem. It's been really wonderful to spend time with my children. And on Shabbos, I'm guilty. I say it openly. I play games with my kids. So there's a game that in Hebrew, they call it Katan. In English, I think they call it Settlers, right?
Settlers of Catan. Yes, good game.
My kids play it all the time on Shabbat, yeah.
So it's a great game. It's a great game. So I'm a kid with that. I play with my kids. I must say that I don't let my kids win in games. I think that that's not good education. And therefore, I'm competitive with them. I'm not mean, but I'm competitive. And
Boaz is like, you want to build a settlement in the game. I'm going to build a whole yeshu.
That's right. So I want to talk about
that. That's how you got Ramat Shiloh.
Exactly. So I'm very good at strategy. Okay? And so when playing the game, there's like a question. You have to have different strategies. But in general, if you want to build another yeshuv, or if you want to make, what is it called, a settlement, or you know, when you upgrade it, it's called a city? Is that what it is? I don't know. City, okay.
Yes, city.
So what's better, to build another settlement or to upgrade to a city? What's better?
Always settlements. Just build lots and lots of settlements.
Build more settlements. Okay, yeah, that's it. Okay.
Just take over the whole Shomron room.
It's a good question, but I think one of the first people that actually told me about this game was Eyal Kelman, I think. I think he's told me about this. But in many ways, it's much better to upgrade to a city. Why? Because obviously you have a good property, and it produces a lot of whatever they're called in English.
Iron ore, wheat resources.
Yeah, all those things. So if you have a good one that produces a lot, to produce twice the amount is obviously a very good thing. It's a better investment than building something that's small that's going to produce less. Okay, I know there are other strategies and stuff. But in general, if you're just judging it on what it can produce, so sometimes it's better if you have extra time, you want to invest it in things that you're already invested in. Don't spread yourself thin, but rather it's much better to the things that you're already doing, so do them better. Do them better. You're learning, so learn more. You want a good relationship, invest in the relationships that you have already and don't look to create new ones. You have a business, so improve your business. Don't start another business. Do the business that you have even better. You have more time, invest it in what you already have. You need to protect your investments and improve them. So I think that it was a few weeks ago, I was giving a shiur to the guys, and we're talking about brachos. And what's the halacha? Let's say you have a full loaf of bread, or you have a half a loaf of bread, but the half a loaf is much, much bigger than the full loaf. Let's say it's only a roll, right? A roll, which is shalem, or a loaf of bread, which is half cut, but it's much bigger. What do you make a bracha on? Do you make a bracha on the bigger, or do you make a bracha on the whole? What's the answer? You can tell me. Simple
enough. On the whole.
On the whole. That's correct. Shalom is adif. So I remember when teaching them, I was like telling this halacha, and I said, you know, like reflecting on myself, and I said, you know, a lot of times I'm involved in so many things, whether it's in the yeshiva or the community, or I'll tell you afterwards, just building other communities and maybe another institution or this. Like, I feel like I'm a bunch of like half loaves of bread, like a bunch of half loaves. I'm not shelling because I'm not focused on one thing. I'm focused on so many things. And I was almost like lamenting that maybe this is not the right approach. I just feel like if I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? And so I told this over. I was speaking to my Rebbe, Rav David Miller, and I told him, you know, I was just telling him, you know, this idea. And he said, you're not a bunch of half a loaves. You're a bunch of rolls. You're a bunch of rolls. I thought that was nice. So like, in other words, everything you're doing is shalim. It's just, you know, you're doing it right. So he gave me the nichamtani. What do you really focus on? Rav Lichtenstein, when I was in the Gris Kollel, Rav Lichtenstein used to give a shir every week on Gemara. But beforehand, he'd have a half an hour that he'd give on Hashkafa. One year he did Ramban ala Torah. One year he did Pirkei Avos. So I remember going to that shir, and he started off, you know, in the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, al shloshad v'im alam omed, ala Torah, ala Oda, v'agbidu chasadim. And he said, you know, of course every person should be invested in Torah, should be invested in tefillah, should be invested in Gemil Chesed as well. He said, but the reality is that nobody is going to excel in all three, or very few people will. You got to figure out what type of person you are. Are you on the Torah? Are you an Avoda person? Are you a Gemil Chesedin person? And you should, like, you know, if it was college, you should major in one, and you can minor in the others. He said, everyone should be involved in all three. You can't be a complete Jew without being involved in everything. But you have to find out what is your tafkid in life and invest yourself in that. So you'll have the people who they're just meant to sit and learn. You have other people who their contribution is their spirituality, their tefillos, et cetera, et cetera. That's their main. And you have other people who they're meant to help people. They're doing chesed. So you need to find out what, you know, if you have an extra hour, I think you should invest in the thing that you're meant to do. Practically speaking, if I would have an extra hour a day, this was a torturous question. Like, there's so many values you have. What is the most important thing in your life? So to all the married people out there, I would say probably the most important investment that you have in your life is your wife.
Sleep. You
know? No, not sleep, David.
I haven't had a good night's sleep in maybe 3 years.
Well, when your kids graduate college, you'll start being able to do that. Until then, my time's like, yeah, I get that. The most important investment is in your wife. And again, an hour, like this morning, for whatever reason, my wife and I, we've been getting up very early. I think my daughter, Tiferet, who was born the same year as the institution Tiferet opened up. So that's not why we called her Tiferet. It just happens to be as a way to remember how old the school Tiferet is. So our Tiferet is 15 years old. So 2 years ago, she was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. So we have this on our app on our iPhone. I have an app that actually we could click it and we'll see exactly where her sugar levels are. So and when it gets too low or too high, a hypo, hypo, whatever, we have a buzz on our phone. So it like goes off at 5 a.m. Like we're up. So this morning, we went for a walk at 6 a.m. Went for a walk for 45 minutes. When COVID was at its like peak and no one was out of the house for anything, we were going for walks in the morning. We were allowed to do some exercise, so we were doing that every day. It was really, really great. Before yeshiva started and everything, we were doing that every day. We were going for like an hour walk. It was probably the best investment of my time for my marriage, because your marriage is the source of all bracha that you're going to have in your life. And so if you really have time to invest it in your wife. Add an extra hour, I would invest in my wife, and everything else would be bracha. I'm on Facebook. I love to see what the alumni are doing. Whenever an alumni gets engaged or has a kid, I like quickly like try to text and, you know, say, oh, mazal tov. And it's so nice to see the families growing, et cetera, et cetera. And there's other studios on Facebook also. Sometimes look at that studios as well. So there's something, I don't know how I get on this, but I always see these things, power of positivity. There's something of the power of positivity. Everyone see this on Facebook? So they have these all these little stories or little, you know, little anecdotes. So there's one little anecdote they had that these three men came to a married couple, and they said, you know, and the woman said, oh, come on in, let's welcome them in. And they said, no, only one of us can come in at a time. So who are you? So one was wealth, and one was health, and one was love, right? So they went back, and the husband said, oh, let's take wealth, and then, one was wealth, one was success, one was love. So the husband's like, oh, let's take wealth. And the wife's like, no, let's take success. And then the daughter said, no, take love. And they said, you know what? We'll take love. So they invited love in. Love came in, and then wealth and success walked in with them. They said, I thought only one of you can come. No, they said, it's true. If you invite one of us, only one of us could come. And since you invited love, everyone could come in. Cute, nice story. It's a nice little anecdote, but it's true. Because when there's love, there's simcha, and eina shchina shora ela mitoch simcha. The shchina will not rest with you unless there's simcha. And if you have shchina, you'll have success, you'll have wealth, you'll have everything. Once you invite a Kodesh Baruch Hu into your life, so the source of shchina is happiness, and the source of happiness is your relationship with your wife. The more you can invest in that relationship, the more every single thing in your life will be better. Your job will be better, your kids will be healthier, yourself, you'll be greater. If you're, you know, if you're Torah centric and you want about your Talmud Torah will be better. Your teaching will be better. Your chesed will be better. Everything you do in your life will improve. Anything you have to offer the world will improve if you invest it in your wife. So the first answer I would say is really to invest in your relationship with your wife. That is the most valuable relationship you'll ever have. And it's the most important thing that you can do for yourself is to invest in your wife. Cannot say that enough. The second is your children. As much as I'm often a public person and Talmidim and community and staff, and your children are first. They're the concentric circles in your life. Your children are first. They come, you know, right after your wife is your children. And very often we make the mistake, and I'm guilty of it. So we make the mistake of getting so busy in our jobs, whether our jobs are to make money or whether our jobs to educate the next generation.
Do you want that answer next? Comes in next.
Whatever it is, you get caught up in your lives, and you forget that the most concentric circle is that of your children. If I had an extra hour, I would love to spend it with my children. That's the second answer. Then is your job itself, depending on what your contribution to the world, whatever that is the next thing. Of course, as I said, if you invest in your home, your contribution will be much greater to the world. There are rarities where there are people who never got married and they're able to dedicate their full selves, or they never had kids for one reason or another, and they're able to develop, you know, dedicate their first full selves to Am Yisrael, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, those are rarities, but generally speaking, you know, if we have a healthy home structure, we're going to be healthier people, and we're able to give more. And if we're able to give to our own children and have a healthy family, it makes us much better to give to others. I skipped the obvious one, and that's to invest in ourselves. We know from Paro Mitzrayim, he teaches us a very valuable lesson. When Paro, saw that the Jews wanted to leave, what does he say? He says, okay, let's make them work harder. Obviously, they have too much time on their hands. If you have too much time on your hands, then you think. And if you think, so then you're going to start thinking about things like freedom. And therefore, make sure that they work, and they never have time to think. Perhaps the best investment of an hour a day is cheshbon nefesh. Every time I teach Mesil Sisham to the guys, or I learn it for myself, I realize that that's probably a book you should do every single day, because it teaches you to stop, think before you do something, think after you do something, think while you're doing something. Take time out. Take time to focus, to make a list of what you do, whether it's late at night or early in the morning, whatever works better for you, the end of the day or before the day starts. If you just spend time thinking about what your goals are, you will most likely be able to accomplish much, much more. Not like 5 to 10% more, probably 50 percent more, maybe even more. Anybody that's organized knows that the organization, when you organize your mind and you focus yourself, if you had an extra hour, maybe invest it in that, in really focusing yourself and trying to figure out, you know, what you really want to accomplish. And in the same vein, you know, invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. We all would love to learn all of Shas, but we're not willing to invest the 1 hour, you know, in doing Daf Yomi. So in 7 years, we could do all of Shas. If you just do Yatzan and a half, you do all of Shas. Two of the people that sponsored this year, Danny Fordham and Nissan Franco, so they finished Daf Yomi. They finished Shas. It's an amazing accomplishment. I think Danny even did with outside of Daf Yomi, but it's something that you have the ability to do it if you just put time. If you had an extra hour a day, focus it on learning. Focus it on building yourself. It's very, very important. And then finally, I think that people don't appreciate, and this is very, very important, that you spend most of your life in your job. You spend most of your life in your job. And is your job Avodas Hashem? Because it should be. Whatever you're doing, your job should be Avodas Hashem. There's a Gemara, I don't know if I'll quote it exactly correct, but the Gemara says, Mutav l'adam l'avod avodah zarah v'al yizdakek min labriyot, something like that. Because it's better for a person to worship avodah zarah and not knock on doors for tzedakah, not need people for tzedakah. So the Gemara obviously doesn't believe that. The Gemara asks the Gemara, you know, really? To do avodah zarah? It's better to do avodah zarah than to collect money? So he says, no, not avodah zarah. Rather, avodah shezarah lo. Avodah that's strange to you. Meaning Scott Sander wants to be a doctor. So, but what can you do? There's no positions open for a doctor. So Scott has to go to Ramat Beit Shemesh and work for Best as a stock boy and, you know, in there. It's better for him to do that than to knock on doors for, even though that's Avodah Shezaralo, he's not meant to do that, but it's better to do that than to accept money for tzedakah to support yourself. Which is a fascinating thing, not because of what's taught explicitly, but rather what's taught implicitly. In that Gemara, it's saying that if you do something that you're not meant to do, that's called, according to the Havamina of Gemara, Avodah Zarah, which means that if you do something that you're supposed to be doing, that's called Avodat Hashem. That's Avodat Kodesh. A person that's supposed to be doing what they're doing, they're meant to do that in the world. Some people are meant to be doctors, some lawyers, some people are meant to be scientists, and others teachers. Some people are meant to work for MoveIt. You know, everybody has some job that's theirs. Some people are meant to go for a year to Toronto and be a shaliach, you know, and everybody has something that they ought to do, that they're meant to do, whether it's a real estate or whether you're a cook or whatever you're going to do. You have a purpose in this world. And you can uniquely contribute in the thing that you're meant to do. And when you're inspired to do something, I once had a friend who said, this is not pshat, but the word inspiration, inspire, you know, it's like to breathe. It's like neshama, neshima, neshama. Inspire is like your neshama inside you telling you to do something. So if you're inspired to do something that you feel like this, like something that's a drive to do something that's important to contribute to the world, and you do that thing, that's avodat Hashem. So whether you add an hour to that or not, if you invest yourself into your avodat Hashem, your work, your avoda, so that avoda could be avodat Hashem. It's very, very important. I'm very fortunate because everything I do is avodas Hashem. You know, everything I do, I wake up in the morning and I go to Minyan. I'm a Minyan with you know, we have 90 Shana Aleph guys this year. It's crazy. We have 30 Shana Bet guys. We have, over 30 guys in the army and 15, 16 in Shir Dalet and Shir Hay. And for all those you don't know, we became Yeshiva Hezer a few years ago. And now we finally see the fruits of that investment. And we have Naya and Nicola. Whatever I do here, it's serving Kodesh. It's an incredible, incredible thing. But it's not just that any workplace that you're in Kodesh the whole time. Besides being a dugma of what an Eved Hashem could be, making brachas and speaking without cursing and doing all the right things, setting an example. Besides all of that, you have opportunity to help people all the time. Now, if you're a doctor, it's obvious you're giving life. But every single person in the world needs a psychologist. If you just talk to people and you're nice to people and you help people out and you look and your ears are there thinking, what can I do to help the person next to me? That's a Avodas Hashem. That's amazing. I see that Ari Price is on. So Ari is one of my favorite people in the world. So Ari is like, you know, we're discussing like about Corona, you know, different jobs are needed and less needed. Ari works as a plumber. His job never stopped. He's always needed. When you need a plumber, there's no one more important in the world than the plumber. And you really can improve the quality of people's lives tremendously. For that emergency, and there could be, you know, 20 emergencies within the span of a week, you've just, you know, really helped 20 people. Everything you do in life, it doesn't matter what field you're in. If it's the field that you're meant to be, you can make it Avodat Hashem. It's better to do Avodat Hashem, right, in anything that you do. So investing an hour in your Avodat Hashem, I davened right before this Zoom, and we said aleinu, letaken olam b'malchut Shaddai. What's our goal? Our goal is to make the world into a place of Avodas Hashem. So, and it doesn't have to be that your role is teaching Torah. Your role is to live Torah, and that will spread automatically in everything you do. thank you, Ari. I'm going to open it up right now. Anybody want any questions? I'll be very, very happy to share with you anything you want to know about my life, about what's going on, about what about the yeshiva. It's great to see Shmuel Bergman. Yishar koach. Welcome, Yitzhak Nadoff. You look great. Good to see you. I'll ask you, Robert Samuel, if you had an extra hour a day, what would you do with that hour?
Oh, it's a good question, putting me on the spot here.
Right.
I liked what you said about doing what makes you you, and that like that kind of related it to me. I don't know. I don't have a wife yet or kids, so that those parts didn't really relate yet. But I'll definitely keep it in mind. I think just definitely keeping doing what I'm passionate about, and whether that's schoolwork, whether that's, you know, things that I'm passionate about, you know, interests of mine, that kind of thing. I think just dedicating more time to that and like a lot more mindful time to it. Cause a lot of the times I just kind of do it just because it's doing it. But now realizing that it's something, you know, putting my brain to it and really, really realizing that that's why I'm doing it. And that it's not just like to get it done, but to really, you know, understand it and realize, yeah.
Right. A person should invest in himself. A person should invest in his interests, his hobbies, his things. It gives him a certain level of simcha. And it's not just that, that's not an end within itself. It's a means that we could be more productive, you know, people in the world, and to give more to others. If we fill ourselves up, then we overflow and we give to everybody else. So the more we work on ourselves, the more we have to offer to others. Sometimes there are tkufot, there are different times in life that we need to be a little bit more self-centered in terms of our growth in order, but it shouldn't be as you know, in einani li mili, right? In ani latzmi imani. If I'm not for myself, who knows, then who's going to be for me? I have to worry about myself. At the same time, if it stops there's a problem. In ani latzmi imani. So then I'm just self-centered. It doesn't mean anything, right? In lach shav, if not now, when now? In matzah. I have to always have alacrity, always have zrizus, you know, in everything that I do, and make sure that if I have an opportunity, don't let it, in mitzvah bali adchal tach mitzena, any opportunity that comes to your hands, you know, don't push it off. Don't push it off. It was asked in the chat, what's new in Beit Shemesh? When are you coming to Toronto? okay. When am I coming to Toronto? I have no idea. Toronto is very, they're very fierce.
And some people have the Tafkid of going to Toronto for a year, so I thought you were talking about yourself. I'm waiting.
No. I had a Tafkid to go to Camp Ennismore for one summer with Adam, with Scott, and I did so, and we had a great, it was a very, very important summer. I would love to come back, but right now Canada is like Yericho. So Gerani Musugaret, you can't go in, you can't leave, you can't, it's very closed. In terms of Beit Shemesh, Beit Shemesh is just, it doesn't make sense what's going on here. It's just growing in leaps and bounds. Personally, I was asked by the mayor of Beit Shemesh to help build more communities. And so in Neve Shamir, we're building a community right now. We're working with real estate agents to sell units. But for me, the more significant thing is to create another community, an idyllic community like Ramat Shiloh. Ramat Shiloh is the most popular community in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Anytime someone sells a house, it's bought up like that. It's like, it's crazy. So in the new communities, we're selling homes. And there's one that we just started selling a week ago. We sold 15 units, 16 units, I think, already. And they're at the end of another sale, another day or two, the next set, the sale's over. And there's another community that I'll probably start selling units there. Not me personally, but I'll be, you know, the face of it in a week, you know. And that will go like hotcakes also. I mean, it's crazy. The amount of interest in Aliyah or just investing in Israel now is crazy. So Beit Shemesh is exploding. It's exploding, and it's an honor to be a part of it. But again, it goes back to the question, what's your focus on? You know, so I'm trying to get good people to do the right things. I feel like when the Kaddish Baruch Hu sends me shlichim to do things, it's hard for me to say no. One of my goals, I was asked to do this years ago. I put it off, but it looks like we're going to do it maybe 2 years from now. Open up a midrasha. Open up Leva Torah for girls, Leva Torah for women, Leva Midrashat Leva, I think we'll call it. And Bezrat Hashem, that'll open up in Neve Shamir. That's the goal. We already got a promise from the Iriyah to get a large piece of land to build on Bezrat Hashem and start a community center over there. So that's what's new in Beit Shemesh. That's what we're doing. That's on the chat. Any other questions on the chat? Any other questions live? Please go ahead. Anybody? Shmuel Bergman, if you had an extra hour of time, what would you do with that time?
So I just came off vacation, so I had lots of time. But once things are crazy again, it would probably just be alone time, honestly, you know, self-reflection and everything that comes with it.
So again, there's stages in life. At your stage in this life, self-reflection is probably one of the most valuable things you could do, because that's probably true at every stage. Because to focus yourself, and you'll be able to be much, much more productive in everything else that you do. Bezrat Hashem. Gabe DeBow, I finally see you, not just your name. How are you, Gabe?
How's it going?
It's amazing to see you. Tell me, Gabe, what would you do the extra hour a day?
Extra hour? I've actually been thinking about that the whole year, about what I would do with an extra hour. I want to say that I would do extra learning, but I'm not sure how much extra learning I would actually do. I think I do learn every day. Actually, starting a few days after the Sima Shas last year, I started doing Mishnais every day and a little bit of Navim every day.
Awesome.
So that's my daily learning. Just be in touch with friends and family more. That's what I'll do that for the extra hour. That's especially now during COVID. I don't get to see so many friends consistently so much in person.
Yeah, here. Danny Fordham, Harav Daniel Fordham. What would you do in the next hour a day?
Fundraise for Leif Hatara.
Use that. I look forward to one day working together with you in the Hana for next generation. Bezrat Hashem. It'll be great. Adam Ishan, co-host of this year, sponsor of this year. What would you do with an extra hour a day?
I was thinking, I mean, you know, obviously the obvious answer is learn for an extra hour. I actually started when the Daf Yomi started, Pesachim, I jumped on. So I've been learning Daf Yomi every day since then. So, I would probably go with spend another hour with my wife. I think I agree with you that that's probably the most valuable investment, at least at this stage of my life.
Yeah, great. We have the great pleasure of having Rav Natanel, who just got off. He just closed his thing. But maybe Rav Natanel will share with us what he would do with his extra hour a day if he had it. And he, by the way, doesn't sleep much. So he's using probably 20 hours of those 24 hours a day. So, Rav Natanel, what do
you say? I would definitely sleep for the extra hour.
I hear that. You definitely could use it. I can tell you that. That's, he's up at the all hours. Stays up late and gets up early. He's burning on both sides. And Matan Goodwax, what would you do with an extra hour? What do you say?
So I was inclined to say I probably want to try and exercise more. That's really, you know. But I'm also thinking of probably spend time with my wife. I mean, I feel like I'm on the Rav Natanel sleep schedule lately.
Exercise for that extra hour.
I know. That's why I was thinking, like, what would I want to do? Exercise. But really, I think spend time with my wife alone. No kids. An hour with no kids and wife. That's you know.
So, Matan, Columbus is pretty cold. But I would say go for a walk for an hour with your wife. And then you get both of them. Mm-hmm. That's the best.
Hey, Rabbi.
Is this Ami Bloom?
Yes. Hi.
My favorite parsha, Shalach et Ami.
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Yonah Rossman made that joke the other day.
That's good. He was
make that joke every single day when I wake up, first thing in the morning.
Yafeh. All right. I think we're towards the end of this year.
Oh, I can ask a question?
Yeah, please. Ami, go ahead.
Which cafeteria is he? Could eat one cheder ochel, the new one or the old one? Which one would you eat in?
I would eat in the new cheder ochel. I think it's an amazing cheder ochel. It's what's
the with the ceiling, without the ceiling.
With the ceiling, I believe that we're supposed to, as I said before, we're supposed to do tikkun olam. We're supposed to fix the world, including in fixing the world is everything from picking up litter from the ground to having beautiful homes. And we should finish our homes, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. We should be building homes to stay. Our future is here, and we should finish our cheder ochel. Our yeshiva should be lagdil Torah uladira. We should give kavod to the yeshivas that we have. So I'm very happy that we're able to finish our cheder ochel. Our ceiling's in now. Come and see. Now we just have to put the lights in, but it's almost there. Shmuel, you got to come visit. Gotta see this.
Rabbi, I hope to come visit soon.
Rabbi, can you do a video tour of the yeshiva? Send a video tour to those of us who have not seen it.
Oh, I would love to, but I can actually share. Can I share?
There's someone sent a picture to my WhatsApp group. I could try to forward it to a video to the Rabbis, and I could send out that video.
That's right. I could do that. I could post that.
Because for me, the old Cheder Ochel is on Nachal Uz. That's why.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long time.
It is a long time. But you were Madrich on Nachal Uz also? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Never forget a lot of things, Matan. I never forget meeting you. Never forget the Shabbos Zachor extravaganza. Remember that one? Yeah. Anyway.
I'm trying to forget that one.
I understand. in any event, Jakey Fine, of course, I know what you would do. You'd work out for another hour, right? And train more people.
But, of course.
Jakey's become quite the fitness dude. In any event, time is, as I said in the beginning, time is not the most important thing in life. Time is life. And what we do with our time is what we do with our life. And it's very, very easy to get caught up in just, you know, a culture of just wasting time, wasting it away. Even when we do things that are shtuyot, as they say, we should do them l'shem shemayim. I know it sounds funny. Like Rav Shammai, he has he loves telling jokes. I don't know if you know this about Rav Shammai. He tells jokes.
Afro-American.
But he does them like to bring simcha. He does them to bring simcha. He wants to bring simcha into the world. So it's, you know, and even, you know, we know that the Amoraim, you start off a shir with a joke. You start off a shir with making someone happy. You know, there are things that we could do which feed our need for leisure. But we should do it l'shem shemayim. I remember when I was a madrich at at BMC, there was a guy who was a great basketball player. And when he was shot in bed, he decided that he's not going to play basketball. And someone asked him, why? You're such a good basketball player. It's a good, it's a mitzvah for exercise. He said, I know, but every time I get on the court, I curse. It brings out the worst in me. I get very competitive, and I don't want that side to come out. So therefore, I decided not to. And I was so respectful for that. Because like with me, when I get on the court, I just like joke around and I have a good time and I make people happy. And so for me, it's a great thing. But for him, it was a bad thing. And I have to know, when you do something, what is it leading to? What is it going to bring into the world? What are you using your time for? So any act can be, the chovos levavos. So it says that normally we think that there's everything in the world. It can be defined by three things. It's either a mitzvah, it's an aver, it's a reshus. A mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to do it. An aver, to do it. And then there's reshus. And reshus, you can do it if you want to. You don't have to. You know, playing basketball is reshus, right? So he says, no. The Chovos Levavos says, no. Everything is either a mitzvah or avera. Those things which you think are reshus, you have to ask yourself the question, does it bring you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, or does it take you further away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? If it brings you closer, then it's a mitzvah. And if it takes you away, then it's the opposite. You're eating ice cream. If it brings you closer to Hashem, mitzvah. It takes you further away, then it's the opposite. So every single thing that we do, we need to see whether it brings us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu or not. I would add just more, and that's that, are you bringing tikkun olam? Are you making the world a better place in the thing that you're doing? Or is it a step removed? If you're adding to the yeshiva olam in one way or another, you know, you're bringing, so then that's a positive act. It doesn't mean that there are other acts which are not more positive. You have to try to do the best with your time. But at least you know if the things that you're doing, which are in the realm of reshut, are good things that are helping yeshiva olam, tikkun olam, you're bringing yourself closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, bringing others, so then that's a very, very good thing. So my tefillah to you is Bezrat Hashem, that you use your time well. And if you're afforded those extra hours, and we have those, that we find those hours, they're like prizes. It's not just when they change the clock, you have an extra hour, because you have an hour another time. But there are those times where you have this hour, something was canceled, you have an hour. Think about what you want to do with those time, because what you're dedicating that extra time to is really what you're putting your value on, what you consider important in life. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us limited time. We don't know how much we have. So every hour that we have, we should really dedicate it to something valuable and something significant and important in our lives, and to make the world a better place. So thank you very much. Well, this will stop the shiur. I'm going to stop the recording, and we'll have shmooze time.